Welcome back to Internet Frenzy. Oh my.
I'm so thrilled to be back. You guys have no idea. Maybe it's because I almost died, but I am grateful to be here, grateful to be alive, and I can't wait to tell you all the things we've been up to last week and why we didn't have an episode for you. My ass was at the hospital all week. Okay. 3 or 4 days. Felt like a
Four or
month.
five or six, maybe.
Maybe 12. Who's counting? Not me. You guys will never know.
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days. And I am just grateful to be here. Thanks for being patient with us. Sorry there was no episode last week, but now you know why. And trust me, you're gonna know way more as we continue this episode.
So, where's your gallbladder?
It's gone.
Oh, you don't have one?
No, the doctor took it, and who knows what he did with it. Do you even know what they do with it?
I'm pretty sure they put them out in the sun, they dehydrate them, and then they put them in a food processor and ground it into powder, and then they put it in veggie capsules, and then they eat it.
Oh, are they for sale or do I get any?
Yes, they're for sale. They're expensive. You don't get any unless you buy them, which you can't afford
Gallbladder.
Sorry. Yeah, you had to pay them a lot, actually, to take it out.
It's a lot. Well, no, really. What do they do? Just throw it away?
I would assume so.
Yeah, it was full
Unless.
of gallstones and it was infected, you guys. So I don't know if it has much use after that.
Yeah, so rumor has it you can't keep it after that.
Sucked.
It was actually sad. I'm not gonna lie. It's like she found out that she had to have surgery after we were there for 7 hours in the emergency room.
It
They
was so
finally told
terrible.
us we were gonna be admitted. And the nurse is like, yeah, the good news is you're gonna have it taken out. And she's like, good news?
Yeah,
And
well,
then you started crying, and then you were like, I don't want to. I don't want them to take it out. They can't have it.
we'll get more into the details later because the story is hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. We'll get more into it. But let's recap first. Let's
Yeah.
recap last time, middle-aged mama drama with a couple of middle-aged moms.
And they were smoking hot.
That's your mom. That's your mom's.
Yeah, my mom and aunt are hot.
Yeah. Jokes. Okay, but to jump in, first story was about OP not letting her mother-in-law hold the baby because mother-in-law wanted a paternity test. She didn't believe that her son was the dad.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I feel like there's more to that story. I feel like there were so many holes. There's so much I wanted to pick apart and like figure out. Well, why does the mother-in-law feel like that? Like, has the daughter-in-law had like history of cheating or whatever? So there's a lot there, but we do know that that was a real story and that was not the fake.
Oh, well, spoiler alert. Okay, next one was the Wicked Witch.
Yes.
Having that song played at the funeral,
Mm-hmm.
that was a vibe. Aunt Shannon was about that life.
She was.
She was like, yeah, please play that at my funeral. And I was like, yeah, we'll do that in 75 years
Yeah, why not?
or more.
Hopefully more. She's not allowed to die.
No, she's not.
Nope.
None of our family.
Well, that was, believe it or not, a real story. So that
True.
was not the fake.
True story, true story. And then there was the mom's Facebook rant about her daughter not making the volleyball team, saying like, back in our day, we used to ride our bikes in the street and drink from the hose and blah blah blah.
Here's the thing with that is you hear people say all the time, like, sports aren't what they were back then. Like, sports are way more competitive now. You're getting into club ball 7, 8 years old at this point nowadays. I have a hard time believing that sports were as hard to make, like, teams back then as they are now. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean there's certainly more competition and like more access for kids to get better, so it's what it is. But the point the mom was making is the daughter's like doesn't practice, doesn't do anything, just sits
Yeah.
on her phone and is like on social media.
Yeah.
So
Well, that is realistic and that was not the fake.
not the
So
fake.
let's talk about which one was the fake.
Tell the people.
Well, I wrote it with my brain and JGBD. It was the BYOB Facebook post where the mom accidentally sent it to the wrong Facebook group and it like blew up and they had this huge block party after and they were all rebelling and it was crazy. So anyways,
So crazy.
It was so crazy, bro.
And fake.
And Shannon and Teresa didn't guess it, which I was very surprised. I thought for sure. So I'm curious to know if you guys guessed it right. So comment on our socials. DM us on socials. Like, we love hearing from you guys what your guys' guesses are, what you think it is. We love chatting. We love being frenzies. That's the whole point of internet frenzy, is like, we love having friends.
I'm so glad you can edit that out.
I can't. Because it's the truth.
No.
Also, guys, can I say this? Trigger warning, I don't really know, but I'm on pain pills. So whatever happens in this episode, just like, don't judge. I'm recovering from a freaking surgery, and I've been a bump on a log for 7 days straight. So, and I feel like my stitches are currently popping out of the seams right now on my stomach. So here we are.
Well, where's your gallbladder? Can you find it?
I literally have to grieve the fact that that organ is gone out of my body. Can you imagine an organ being taken out of your body, the body that God created?
If it was full of gallstones and infected, I'm saying yank that thing. Yoink it out.
Guys, the gallbladder attacks were the worst. They were so bad, and I kept it from, I suffered for months. For months.
See, aren't you glad that it's out?
I don't know yet, because I haven't been able to reap the benefits yet, because I'm dying. My stomach, my abs, surgery is hard. Recovery is hard.
Follow your personal, tell them to follow your personal account for all the hacks on if you need to get your gallbladder removed.
Oh yeah, follow my TikTok, at WhitneySykes6, I believe.
Six is so random.
Yeah, I know. I need to change my username, like, literally.
Gallbladder girl.
Don't make me laugh. See, this is bad. I can't laugh either in this episode because it hurts my stomach, but I will laugh with my mouth, not my belly. Ew, that's the ugliest.
That's the worst thing ever. Well, I for one am excited. That was so bad. Please don't do that again. I'm excited that you don't have a gallbladder anymore. The surgeon was too. What? He came out to me in the waiting room, dapped me up. He's like, hey, dude, don't worry, bro. She's alive.
Wow.
It's like, okay.
That's legendary, Joe.
Now, yeah, we're homies. We were celebrating.
As you should.
But that, the experience at the hospital, it was an ever-loving nightmare. 7 hours in the ER before we were admitted, among many other things. All the chaos. We could do a whole episode just on that alone, but we're not going to go into all of it right now. That experience and your lack of a gallbladder is what inspired our topic for this week, which is...
You're welcome.
Paging Dr. Disaster. One of the things, I have to tell a story before we get into the stories, but just, this is a short one. It was your second night there. You were a little spooked. I had to go home and put our daughter down to go to sleep at our house because she was with grandma.
Yeah.
And so I was like getting you all tucked in. You were nice and doped up, so you weren't feeling too much pain. But you were a little scared.
Yeah, I was scared.
And all of a sudden they come over the intercom in the hallway and they're like, attention, all floors, code purple, code purple. I repeat, code purple.
And your face, Joel's like, what's code purple? And he goes straight to his phone. And I said, Joe, don't look it up. And he's like, I'm looking it up. He looks it up and I say, fine, if you look it up, just don't tell me.
I had to tell you. So if for anybody that is familiar with the medical field, code purple, like almost universally, means that there was like an abduction of a minor. So it's like somebody's come in and abducted a minor and is like holding them hostage or has taken them out of the hospital or something so scary. And so I just Google code purple hospital. It pops up and I was like, it's like nighttime, like midnight or whatever. I'm like, I got to leave the hospital, leave you here. There's no locks on a hospital door. You push a lever and the thing opens. It's like,
there should be a lock. That's terrifying.
No security. That's actually horrifying because I was thinking about that. I'm like,
I know.
Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But I was like, cool. So not leaving. Now what? Because there's a minor that has been stolen. So I was nervous. I did tell you. You got really scared, rightfully so. And then luckily I did a little bit more digging, and just this organization, this particular hospital that we were at, code purple just meant that they were at capacity. Didn't mean child abduction. Most of them do. I was like, that's such a stupid, like, they probably get at capacity a lot.
Yeah.
So many people are in there and they hear code purple. If they do look it up, they're like all panicking. I wouldn't have done that, but it's fine. It's fine. So that's the motivation of the story.
Okay. I'm excited for it.
Hospitals are crazy.
Okay. So I'm going to start with my story. It's pretty good. So. Internet frenzy. Electric love, so trendy. Bites and bits, we're blending. One click, no pretending. So this is from our rant on Reddit. My girl left me right after a life-saving surgery, me 22M, her 22F. Good day, everyone. First off, please excuse my imperfect English, as it isn't my first language. I've been in a relationship with this girl for about a year. All has been great. We have a great connection both mentally and physically. No problems in the bedroom, and generally no arguments. So a couple days ago, last Monday, I went to the hospital with what later turned out to be testicular cancer. Luckily, it was discovered early and it hadn't spread anywhere, so I needed surgery for the affected testicle to be removed. Unfortunately, there was no other way. I am now recovering from the surgery at home. To get to the point, when my girl found out I had to get a testicle removed, she immediately expressed some sort of repulsion. The day I got home from the hospital, she sent me a text saying she didn't want to be with half a guy because I quote, "Now you just have one ball." I asked her if this is because she's afraid we wouldn't be able to have kids together. And for some reason, that wasn't even the point. I'm still very fertile, and I even have had them free sperm cells just in case. So I'm at a conflict with myself now. On one hand, I want to try and salvage the relationship. On the other hand, I feel like I deserve better than someone who calls me half a man just because I had cancer. I'm just very angry and sad now, especially because she did it over text, even while I'm still in a lot of pain.
Yo.
So the big question is, do I try to save the relationship with a person like this? Or do I save my self-respect and move on to find someone who will value me for the full man I still am?
Preach, bruh. That is insane.
That, I guarantee, that happens more than we think.
Don't say that.
No, it's horrible. But
so you're telling me you would leave me if I got that?
Absolutely not. We're married.
You're like, the first thing out of your mouth, you're like, probably happens a lot. I don't know. Oh.
No, I'm saying girls are shallow and they're also uneducated. Like, it's not like he has one ball that's completely taken off. It's still there. It's not like aesthetically not pleasing.
I don't even know where to try to help you with this. Listen.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into a male anatomy 101 right now, but what I will tell you is aesthetically not going to change a whole lot of anything.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm literally not going to talk about that. It's for her, it's something psychologically that she's like not cool with. And that is so effed up.
Oh, it's so effed up.
The guy has testicular cancer.
He's been with her for a year too. That's not just like a couple months summer fling. This is like they are in a full blown relationship for a year now.
And she's like, oh, dude, this guy, he's prone to cancer and he only has one nut now. East.
That's so sad.
So wrong.
This poor guy. Well, I definitely do think he deserves much better.
Yes.
Like, that just shows her character through and through. And it's rotten. But I'm just trying to say, I do think it probably happens more often than you would think. Whether it's this type of cancer or just like a sickness or any type of cancer, I'm sure the other partner steps back.
You think?
More often than you think.
Couldn't fathom it. I mean, you might be right. I don't know.
We should look up like the statistics on that.
You're down a whole gallbladder and I'm not going anywhere.
I really appreciate that, Joe. Thank you so much.
It's like I literally don't even care.
You don't?
I only care about you being in pain.
You want me in pain or you don't want me in pain?
I don't want you in pain.
There you go.
Like, that's what I mean. It's like, I only care about the fact that you're in pain, not that you're down a gallbladder.
I know. I was just kidding.
And, I mean, we'll see if you can still eat In-N-Out. It remains to be seen.
Oh, if I can't, I'm going to cry.
20% of all people that have their gallbladder removed remain symptomatic, according to the surgeon, my guy.
Yep, that's your man.
Yep, so we'll see what happens, but.
Yeah. There's a couple of comments. Well, there's a lot of comments, actually. But
50, tell us the good ones.
58, to be exact.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Nanatomany44 said, "Let that worthless woman go and wave goodbye. Do not waste your time on such an unfeeling heifer. You can get a prosthetic test implanted so you look even. And when are recovered physically and emotionally, tell your partner up front once you get past the casual dating stage, weed out any more unempathetic partners before you get dreadfully involved." And Beginning Conflict says, "Yeah, I was told about a prosthetic. We'll look into it. But given the recovery now, I don't think it's worth it. I'm in hella pain. But thanks for the kind words and advice. It's very much appreciated." Poor guy.
I could not imagine.
Oh,
a prosthetic. Like, who cares if it hangs a little lower on one side?
Is that basically all it is?
Yeah, it would just be a little lopsided. That's it.
Who cares? Who's staring at people's balls anyway?
That's like what I was going to say without saying it, you know?
Oh, I'll be the one to say it.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You naturally would.
I got you, well, guys.
Hopefully OP has moved on to a nice, healthy relationship.
Yeah, 100%. This was a year ago, so.
He was young, too, only 22.
That's so sad. It's horrible. Like
he's in the clear. He's got the rest of his life to live.
Yes, he's a charming young lad. He'll do great in life.
He do just fine.
And he'll produce lots of babies for a hotter, more successful, emotionally intelligent babe.
That'll be gone as soon as his other testicle gets cancer too. Okay, my turn. Am I the asshole for deciding not to tell my family that the surgery I'm getting will probably kill me?
No.
I'm getting a major surgery done in about 3 weeks, and I was told there's a 60 to 80% chance it will kill me. It's 60% if I do all the things the surgeon told me to do to prepare for the surgery, take supplements, gain weight fast, lots of protein, and I'm following all the rules. So let's say my chances of dying are 60%. That's not great, but not too horrible. The thing is, I've had this exact surgery before, and I came out just fine, so my family has no reason to think this time will be any different, aside from the risk involved with any surgery. However, for reasons involving my medical condition, which he put in parentheses TM, I wanted to look up what TM was, and I forgot, so I'll look it up after. This time, the surgery is riskier. My family consists of my older brother, 28M, who I, 27M, live with, and my mom, 54F, who lives on the other side of the country. My brother is very protective of me, and my mom still acts like I'm her little boy. The only reasons I could think of to tell them would be, one, give them time to prepare for the possibility of my death, but I don't think this is something they can prepare for. I'm sure they'd just be miserable for the time leading up to the surgery, and I don't want that. The second reason is give us all a chance to make happy memories before the surgery. Again, I don't think that can happen when we'd only be doing it because I might die soon. It would feel forced and desperate, and they would only be pretending to not be miserable, and I'd be unhappy because I would know they're miserable. I'm leaning towards ignorance is bliss for everyone involved. If I survive, no harm done, and all that potential misery would be for nothing. If I die, well, that's the risk of any surgery, and their final moments with me wouldn't have had that misery. And with my medical condition, TM, it's unlikely I'd make it to retirement age anyway. But is it right for me to hide something this big, even if it's to spare them pain? What are your thoughts?
I say don't tell them.
I think that's what I'm saying too.
But it's sad. He doesn't have any emotional support. He has no one to, like, for his own sake. He's got to have someone there to, like, be there for him, because that's heavy.
That's so heavy. That's devastating. I would tell. I would if it was me. Okay. Like, hearing the story, reading about it, if it was my family member, I don't think I would want to know, because that would be so devastating.
You wouldn't want to know if your brother was going into a surgery that had a 60% chance that he was going to die. 60 to 80.
I think I would want to know what the surgery was for, but it's like.
Oh, I would absolutely want to know if someone I loved going into a surgery had 60 to 80% chance of dying. I'm saying if it was me going into that surgery, I mean, knowing me, I would be telling that I have a 60 to 80% chance of dying. I just know who I am. I would definitely be telling everyone.
Yeah.
Because I would need that emotional support. I would need that love and comfort. And, like, I would want to say my goodbyes just in case.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like he obviously doesn't want to. So maybe he just doesn't need that type of, like, support.
I think everybody does to a certain extent. But he's being the type of person that's, like, kind of taking it on the chin for his family. Like, yes. He thinks it's the noble thing to do.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there's several edits. The first one says, The surgery is 100% necessary. I will die without it, but it would take maybe a year or so and be very unpleasant.
Aww.
Edit number two. I've already gone over how I'd want my body dealt with the last time I had surgery, which I want it donated to science or cremated if science doesn't want it. I have no debts and my brother knows about all my bank accounts.
Wow.
Edit number three. I will write letters to them.
Oh, I don't love that.
Edit four. Maybe I wasn't very clear about this because a few people have commented about it. I'm not hiding the surgery itself from my family, just how risky it is. They're going to come see me off and will say our I love yous and good lucks at the hospital.
Ugh.
Edit five. I already have an advanced medical directive from the last time I had this surgery. I don't have any idea what that means. And yes, I promise to post an update if I survive. You're all very sweet for wishing me well. It turns out Reddit isn't as scary as I feared. I just joined and this was my first post. Edit number six. Thanks to everyone who responded with their thoughts. I honestly don't know what I want anymore. There seems to be no good answer, and spending the last 4 hours reading what everyone has said and thinking about my upcoming surgery has left me feeling pretty drained. I'm going to take a break and recharge. Edit number seven. Okay, I'm feeling very overwhelmed here. I was only expecting to get 10 comments, maybe 20 at the most. Now there's nearly 400 comments. I wrote this post feeling pretty confident of my decision, but I wanted to see if anyone out there had a different perspective, another point of view that I hadn't considered. After reading over 100 of these comments, I don't know what I should do anymore. I'm feeling guilty for hiding this, but I can't see what the right thing to do is. There probably isn't a right thing to do. So many of you have shared their stories and experiences with the death of a loved one. I'm truly sorry you had to go through that, and I appreciate your perspectives. I'm going to revisit this in the morning and look at this with fresh eyes. P.S. To all the people who are setting reminders for 3 weeks, a bit morbid, but I understand. You should make it 4 weeks. If I survive, I'll need time to recover and get out of the ICU before I come back to Reddit.
Dang, so people are literally seeing if he comes back.
Yeah, people are setting reminders to see.
Oh.
Devastating.
Oh my gosh. I wonder what he does. I wonder if he ends up telling them. That's 68% chance.
60 to 80%. What would you guys do? Like, Do you tell the family or do you not? I don't know.
You tell the family. That's your family. That's your loved ones.
But you make them so miserable for a month? Or do you tell them when it's closer to the surgery, maybe?
Oh. Well, I know for me, I would want as much time as possible with my family. And they would give me that time if they knew I was going into a surgery. 60-80%. So.
If I heard that, I'm thinking they're going to die. 60 to 80% chance?
Yeah, yeah.
It's majority. It's like, and if it's the negative that's the majority, you're like, it's for sure. Because you always hear about when it's like the 5% chance and they die. You know what I mean? It's like.
That's so scary.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Please tell me there's an update. Oh my gosh.
I'll give you an update.
No.
This was 6 years ago. There was never another post and that the account was deleted. I know. Give me chills.
No, he died. Sad day.
I think so.
Oh, that's so sad. I wonder if he ever told the family.
No idea.
I mean, they know now he's dead. Oh, that's horrible. Wow, way to make me depressed.
Crazy story, right?
That's a crazy, crazy story. Is there comments like RIP and things like that? Wow.
There's basically everything was like, please just make sure that your affairs are in order. Like, to make it easier for them if you decide not to tell them, make sure that everything is, like, where it needs to be.
My thought is, like, as a family member, especially, like, a parent, you would think that you would do enough research to know that it was 60 to 80% just based on, like, what surgery they're doing, and it's the second time around. Like, I know if it's my kid, I'm researching, like, what are the chances of survival in this surgery, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe the family did know. And they just never had the discussion with him.
So there's a comment. It says, may I ask what kind of surgery you're having? I ask for my own education. It's extremely unusual to perform a non-emergent surgery with that high of a mortality rate, let alone do it twice. I've scanned the comments and don't seem to find it. I'm also not aware of any surgery in which rapidly gaining weight using protein powders or taking supplements improve mortality. Source. This person is an anesthesiologist. And so the edit says, update, I received PM from OP. Story checks out. Details being kept private by request. Best wishes and good luck, OP.
Oh, dang. I was hoping this was like some fake story on Reddit.
Oh, and this is another great one.
No.
Well, OP, I think I have to change my judgment on this one and say you're the asshole. You're the asshole for one of the following reasons. Number one, you made it through the surgery and haven't come back to update us all. or you've forgotten your Reddit logins. I really hope this is the case, and I still keep checking the thread daily for some signs. Aww. All will be forgiven, and you'll be NTA again, not the asshole. We're all still rooting for you, OP. Number two, you didn't make it through, and you failed on your promise to come and haunt everyone who comments. Or number three, you didn't make it through, and you've left a big hole in this world. If this is the case, I hope your family are doing well. We will all be thinking of them. Whatever the case, OP, we hope you're doing okay. If you made it through, I hope you're fighting to get fit. If not, I hope you're at peace now.
Oh, my goodness. This is so sad.
I know.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He died. He didn't make it through surgery, and the family is sad.
Yeah, and they've been sad for 6 years.
Yeah.
So, that's my story.
Wow, Joe. That's a sad one.
Do I win the award of saddest story?
Yeah, but I got a really good story coming up right now.
Talk to me.
So this is on Reddit. Am I the asshole for refusing to speak to my husband because he chose work over my surgery? I26F recently found out that I have a mass on my tonsil. My doctor immediately opted for a tonsillectomy. It could be cancer, so we wanted to get it out as soon as possible. I have had cancer once before. My husband, 27M, works all the time. He almost never calls off and recently got another job. My surgery is scheduled for a day that he works. He told me that he was not going to be taking me because he has to work. I don't have a way to get there because I cannot drive myself, and I have had to ask my friends to take me. They are not able to, and I'm pretty introverted naturally, so I don't have a ton of close friends in general. I have two close friends who live here, and one doesn't have a car. I don't really have any family that is close enough to be able to. I'm struggling to find someone in time. I also need someone to stay with me for the entire first 24 hours to help me manage pain meds while being high on anesthesia and making sure there are no complications from it, basically. And he says he can't because he has to work. They are wondering why he won't take a day off work, and especially why he won't take a few days off so he can help me out if I need it as I'm coming off the anesthesia. This upset me so much that I haven't even been able to look at him or speak to him for the past 2 days. He told me I'm the asshole because I don't care about his job, and he called me controlling for getting upset and ignoring him. I'm starting to think maybe I am a bit of an asshole here. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
Oh my gosh. There's no way she thinks that she's the asshole.
It's actually like really sad. I understand it's a new job and he has to work. But here's the deal, honey. If you really can't take that day off, then you are going to be the one to take charge of accommodating and being like, I got you an Uber. I got you a caretaker. I hired somebody. They are going to take you, and they're going to stay with you and then bring you back. And when you get back, I'm going to have dinner ready or whatever. Like,
right.
He needs to take initiative here instead of being like, no, you figure it out. I'm working.
And it's a tonsillectomy?
No idea what that is.
So
you're taking a mass off a tonsil.
Or you're taking your tonsils out.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
And then how does that work?
I don't know. I'm not a medical not a doctor.
Yeah.
I work in the dental field.
I know. I'm like, I feel like you should know this.
I feel like tonsils are not that important. Like, I'm pretty sure kids have their tonsils removed sometimes.
That's true. Or like your tonsils are swollen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You're right. But this is a mass on her tonsil.
Right. No, I mean, and the biggest issue is that she's had cancer before and now she has a mass on her tonsils.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, so sorry. I'm clocked in. Not going to be able to help you at all. Like, hope you don't die. Let me know if it's cancer. I got to work. It's horrible.
That's so sad.
He's the jerk. I hate him. She's not the jerk.
So there is an edit. Thank you guys for all the love and advice. I will be contacting my doctor on Monday to figure out a plan. It really helps and means a lot to see everyone's input. I'll try to keep up with comments, and also I'll be updating again when I have a plan. Update. My husband got me beautiful flowers that made me my favorite breakfast this morning. He apologized a bunch. He realized he was being a huge asshole, and he's taking the day off for my surgery. My friend is going to hang out here with me the next couple days after that to make sure I'm all good. Thank you, everyone, for your input. I'm glad he came to his senses. He is even pushing off starting his new job so he won't be working both jobs and not home at all during my recovery. He's never had surgery, so he didn't realize that just tonsils could be so bad. We are also going to start going to marriage counseling to help us communicate better and to help him be more sensitive to my needs. This seems gross to me, I feel like. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
It feels like she's just trying to put a Band-Aid over it for Red.
That's fair. That's very fair. And like,
Because she really hit all of the pain points there.
Reddit's a scary place. You don't want the Reddit savages coming after you, seeking blood.
Yeah, you would know.
Don't.
We're not giving context here, but one time Joe did like a burner account and he posted a fight that we had and was like, who's the asshole? It was like real life fight we actually had. And guess who was the asshole? And Joe was salty for literally like 2 weeks.
Oh, please.
He was so upset. He was so mad.
I still don't agree.
That's crazy. So many still people don't blamed agree. You.
They don't get it.
No, they get it. The people that get it, get it. I hope they go to marriage counseling. Like, everyone should be doing that.
10 out of 10. Recommend.
Recommend, baby.
I'm not going to jump to any conclusions about his character. All I know is that I've never had surgery either. The truth is that, like, when I found out that your gallbladder was going to be removed, I felt a sense of relief about the fact that you weren't going to be in pain anymore. You weren't going to be writhing in the middle of the night anymore. So I was like, okay, good. Now we know what's going on. Let's get this thing out of you. And we move on. There was never a question whether or not I was going to work. Like, I understand the responsibility to provide and be there for you when you're having surgery.
Yeah.
So, don't know what his work arrangement's like. If it was like he was going to get fired if he didn't show up, then he's in a predicament.
Yeah. But
just based on what OP said, the right thing, obviously, is for him to just know that it's important for him to be there for his wife. And that is not rocket science. That is marriage 101.
Yeah, the majority vote was that she is not the asshole and that he was. So the people did good on Reddit.
They're decent. Good one. Good story.
Thanks. On did to I the tell next. You one? You can tell me one, Joe. Let's hear it. I'm excited for this one. I feel like this one could be good. We'll see.
This one's about to be a round tripper. If you liked my last story.
Is this one going to make me cry again?
It could.
Oh, great.
Can never rule that out with you.
True.
Where's your gallbladder?
I don't know.
All right. This one also comes from our rant. Subreddit rant. It's a good one if you ever just want to blow off steam. It says, my hospital roommate tried to convert me mid-fever.
What?
Listen up. Pull up a chair.
Pulled up a chair. Ready.
So I got hospitalized a few weeks ago for a kidney infection that turned septic. Not fun. I came in with 103 degree fever, felt like my spine was on fire, and ended up getting admitted for IV antibiotics and fluids. Standard stuff. Because the hospital was full, I was put in a shared room with an older woman, I'm guessing late 70s. Her name is Marlene. Super sweet at first. She introduced herself, asked if I had family nearby, offered me half her pudding, that kind of thing.
Ew.
Like, yeah, you want some of this chocolate pudding?
Ugh. Ew.
Hospital food's nasty.
It's so gross.
Later that evening, she casually invited me to her church. I didn't think anything of it. I said something polite and went back to trying not to throw up. But it escalated. That night, around 3 a.m., I woke up to her softly reading Bible verses out loud. At first, I thought she was praying for herself. Then I realized she was inserting my name into the verses. Stuff like, quote, and the truth shall set my name free. Fever or not, I was awake enough to know that was weird. The next day, she asked if I had a personal relationship with Jesus. I told her no, and that I wasn't really looking to get into that kind of conversation.
Okay, so she shut it down pretty fast.
Yeah, like, as fast as she can while still being normal and like polite. She smiled, nodded, and then a few hours later asked if I wanted to get baptized in the hospital. She even said that she knew a pastor who made hospice rounds and he could probably swing by. I told the nurse I was uncomfortable and she basically said, oh yeah, Marlene does that. Like it was just a thing.
What?
Marlene must just be like the hospital regular.
Yeah, she's just in all the time. She's got like great insurance, can just go in, $90 copay.
Then she just be in there sharing the good news.
Honestly, that's a great place to do it because you're trapped. You're not going anywhere when you're in the ER.
Yeah, unless you do go somewhere.
Like die or go to a
Well, no, like room? This OP says, I left AMA the next morning. My labs were stable enough. I figured I'd recover faster at home without midnight sermons and surprise altar calls.
Oh my gosh.
AMA means against medical advice.
Oh.
So she just dipped. And apparently that's a thing. Like apparently you just like you just roll out if you want to. And the way that OP writes, it sounds like she's in the medical field. She ends it by saying, "And look, I respect people of faith, but hospitals are not revival tents. If someone's hooked up to fluids and barely keeping their eyes open, maybe wait to pitch salvation. Just a thought."
Oh, there's so much here. I literally can't even imagine having that be my experience. One, that's like a that's out of a movie. Like that's nightmare freaking movie right there.
Just the fact that it was that nighttime and she's in the Bible, yes. Just like, "And the truth shall set you free.
And the truth shall set Whitney free." And she's freaking right next to me, and I wake up see, like hearing that. Like when I was in the ER, it's dirty. It smells. Are you good, bro?
I can't control when I sneeze. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Don't ever do it again.
Are you going to say bless you, or is everyone going to know that you're mean?
I'm just envisioning, like, I guess I can only relate to this story when it comes to, like, my experience in the ER. Because it's not fun. It is not enjoyable. If you've been to the ER, you know they take hours and hours and hours and hours. It's disgusting there. It's dirty. It smells. The smells we were smelling, people left and right from us were throwing up. I don't know if it was just a really bad night, crazy night in the ER.
It had to have been a bad night.
It had to have been, because we've been to the ER before and it was not that crazy of an experience. It took as long, but I was not seeing people throw up left and right the way we were Thursday night, last Thursday. When I was at the ER, I go in, there's people left and right smelling so bad, screaming, groaning, throwing up, all the things. Like I'm pretty sure two people died that were next to me. I get all my tests done and things like that. And this nurse comes back in and she's like, and when you're at the ER, there's just like little curtains that separate you from the people next to you.
This may not be the case at every hospital, but yeah, for true. This particular hospital where we were, we had like, I mean, literally it was like
tiny.
It was the width of our couch right here.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a curtain.
And you can hear everything that other people are saying next to you. And we were sitting there and there was a person that was next to us that was doing like a telehealth type of appointment. So all the smells and the sounds, it was disgusting. And after my testing was done, the nurse finally comes back in and she's like, "Okay, I have good news for you." And I'm thinking like, oh, great. Like, it's not going to be anything crazy. I can take an antibiotic and this pain will go away finally after months of dealing with this. And she was like, "You're going to have emergency surgery tomorrow morning and we're going to take it out. It's your gallbladder. It's full of gallstones and it's infected." And I just stared at her and I'm like, what? I was like, where's the good news? She's like, "Oh, that's it. We're going to get it out in surgery." And I'm just sitting here, like, staring at her, like, what do you mean? I've never had surgery before. I'm absolutely horrified. I get this pit in my stomach. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm so scared. And eventually, she just walks away. So we have no idea what's happening next. I'm thinking she's going to check us out, and then we're going to schedule the surgery for the morning, and I'm going to come back into the hospital for surgery. Yeah, no. Hours, like, literally an hour later, she comes back, and because my Joe was like, "What's happening? Like, can we go?" And she was like, "No, you guys are being, she's being admitted into the hospital. Like, you have to stay here."
I just have to insert this. Like, we're there for an hour and a half.
After.
Literally. And I'm like checking the clock. We have a toddler that's with grandma and grandpa. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, how did it just tell us what time to come back? And the worst is there's two nurses just outside of the little curtain. And they're like, "Ugh, it's so annoying. I bought a 5,700 square foot house. Don't buy that much house. It's so hard to clean. I just don't buy a big house. It sucks having a big house." I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why am I here? And you're over here, like, just flaunting.
Yes.
I was very upset. So I go over and ask, like, when are we leaving? When do we get to go home for the night? And the nurse is like, the other one that didn't come in and talk to us is like, "You guys are being admitted. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we didn't know.
That would have been nice to know.
That would have been swell, because I've been over here for an hour and a half just like not knowing. And mind you, we went in at like 5:30.
Yeah.
It's after midnight at this point. So I'm like, that would have been cool. And the nurse is like, wait, did you not tell him? And the other nurse is like, yeah, I came in. I told you that you're going to have surgery tomorrow. Like, obviously, that you're going to have surgery. And I was like, yeah, you did. You said she's going to have surgery tomorrow. Sorry. Like, there's disconnect here. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
I was not chill with that. I was not happy with it.
So we're getting admitted. Joe is then looking me dead straight in the eyes. And he's saying, I have to go get our daughter. She needs to go to bed. She's been at grandma and grandpa's. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock at that point. I got
to
go.
And she goes to sleep at 7 every night.
Yeah. And I start bawling because I'm like, I just found out I'm about to have surgery in the morning. I'm so scared. Granted, it is gallbladder removal. It is very, very common. I understand that. But like, to me, it was so terrifying. Like, I'm horrified. So then they tell me that there's no room available for me. So I have to sleep in the ER. And it's disgusting in there, you guys. It is horrifying. The lights are on. They don't turn the lights off there. So I'm going to have to sleep in the light. The beds are so uncomfortable. And I'm smelling throw up left and right. And everyone there is like dying that night. I don't know why. Something was in the air. But it was literal chaos in there. It was so scary hearing all the screams. And there was a bunch of like old ladies. I mean, literally screaming. Like, I thought they were about to die. I'm in this room. And this is why this story to me, I'm just like envisioning it. I would be so scary. I mean, to share a room with someone like that and finally like dozing off and then hearing someone read the Bible out loud and inserting your name. Like, that is so creepy. That is so, so creepy. So anyways, I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. Joe left and I was just, I have never been so scared. I think, I don't remember the last time I was that scared. I just felt so scared the whole time. I didn't get 1 ounce of relief. And 5 a.m. rolls in and the nurse like comes in. She's like, oh, you're still awake? And so at this point, I've been awake for 4.5 hours, like since Joe had left.
Just on TikTok watching every gallbladder video?
No, I stopped. I stopped. I literally just tried to close my eyes and pray, honestly. But she's like, oh, and I go, yeah, the lights are so bright. Like, I'm not going to be able to sleep with lights on. There's just no way. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, hon. I can get you a mask, an eye mask. And I'm literally looking at her like, are you effing kidding me? And then she says, oh, and I can get you earplugs too. So then I don't have to hear all the screaming freaking people dying. So that was cool. So then I put my headphones in. I mean, my earplugs and the eye mask, and I fell asleep so fast after that. 5:33 rolls in, and a doctor comes into my room. Hello? And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Hello? No, he's this big, big doctor guy. And he walks in, he's like, so? And I'm like literally trying to like wake up. Like, I was having the hardest time like understanding what was happening. And I like pull my eye mask up and I'm looking at him and he's like, yeah, literally. I'm like so confused trying to like sit up. He's like, so you're getting your appendix out today, right? And I was like, what? And I was like, no,
it's the other useless organ.
I was like, no, I'm getting my gallbladder. He's like, no, it's your appendix. And I'm like, no, it's my gallbladder. And he's like, are you sure? Let me take a look. And he's like talking to me like I'm stupid. Like, I don't understand like what I'm getting surgery for. And he goes to look at my name and like search. He's like, oh, yep, I'm sorry. It is the gallbladder. And so I'm like, cool. This doctor doesn't even know what I'm getting out. Like, he's going to freaking tell people I'm getting my appendix out. So I'm already like nervous as hell. Then he's trying to tell me, you know, what's going to happen and all these things. And just so nervous. I was just absolutely horrified. Finally, about, what would you say, like 8 a.m. rolls by, and they finally had a room available. So I was able to go to a room and get settled in there before I had my surgery. So pause there. Joe, it's your turn. When we're in the ER, we're smelling things that people are throwing up. What do you hear on the curtain next to us?
Yeah, so first of all the noises... They were the worst things you've ever heard in your life. I won't replicate them, for the sake of the listeners, but just use your imagination. Draft up the worst noises that you could hear at the hospital.
And smells.
And don't get me freaking started on the smells. Literally, don't get me started.
7 hours.
Oh, it sucks. It's like, first of all, this is like a real point here before I say what I was going to say. Shout out to all of you that work in emergency medicine.
Yeah.
Because no way. No way.
No way.
I was there for just the amount of time I was there, 7 hours. My cortisol levels, my stress, dog.
No.
It was up over my brain just like, nope, we got to get out of here. Yes. We got to dip.
There's no way.
It was not good. So there was that. But the craziest thing, you guys, despite all the people puking and being sick on the inside, somebody comes in, and we didn't know it right at the time, but mental health concerns, which first and foremost, like, I'm very sympathetic towards, so I don't mean to make light of anything like that. However, this individual that was getting treatment was hard of hearing.
Yes.
And so again, imagine it. We're in these little tiny curtain drapes things, and there's just like a million people in this square on the bottom floor of the hospital. And this guy's probably a couple of stalls down, but he can't hear. So he's talking to a telehealth provider, and the volume is at like way too loud. So all we can hear is their questions to him, and we can't really hear him answering too well. But they're like, okay, have you ever wanted to cause harm to yourself? Oh, have you ever wanted to cause harm to any other human beings? Oh, you don't want to cause harm to another human being right now, do you? Like, that's like where it started. And then she starts getting into more questions like, have you ever wanted to cause harm to an animal? Why do you want to live? Just all the things. And we're just sitting in there like, oh my gosh.
It felt so invasive because we could hear everything. And we were like, what in the hell is happening? Like, she was going on and on about asking, have you killed an animal? Have you hurt an animal? Have you strangled an animal? Like, it was like all the things.
It just felt dark. That's the way I would put it.
It was so sad.
Sad and dark. And like, I'm really glad that the person made it to the hospital.
Yeah.
With that type of thing. And it was like, I heard them asking about like family. And at a certain point, you try to tune it out. Like, it's not that I wanted to hear it, but it was so loud.
It was so loud.
And it's like, the times that I wasn't hearing it, it was because Petunia over here is just vomiting all over the floor.
Violently, you guys. Like, literally violently. And she was shaking because the curtain was like, the husband didn't close his side of the curtain all the way. And so, like, you could see the husband and the wife. And if I laid back, I could see. And I thought she was going to die. And hers was the appendix. And so when the doctor the next morning came into mine, I was like, oh, no, that's the girl next to me. That's her appendix.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just the gallbladder girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. So anyways, moral of the story, there's some wild ER stories out there, guys. And if you have any, please email us at internetfrenzy@gmail.com or shoot us a DM on Instagram @internetfrenzy. We're on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, our podcast. We're on all the things.
Yeah, so hit us up. Share your stories with us. Tell us from this episode which one you think is the fake. Maybe none of them, because hospitals are gnarly. And I'm glad that we don't have to go back for a very long time. Shout out to all of you that work there. Seriously.
Yeah.
Could not do your job. Have all the respect in the world for you.
Absolutely. And
thank you guys for the support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Leave us a rating on your favorite podcasting platform if you would.
Yes, please.
We're trying to grow on the podcasting front. We know that there's quite a few of you that are loyal listeners to the pod, and we love you. We appreciate you. And we're just trying to have more reach that way. So if you can leave us a rating, would much appreciate. And other than that, jump on the socials. Let us know which one you thought was fake. And we'll see you guys next week. And we love you.
And just to let you know, there's always one fake story of the four. So don't let Joe fool you. There's one that's fake. Let's see if you can guess it right. Love you guys. Internet Frenzy on 3. 1, 2, 3. Internet Frenzy.
Bye, Mom.
Music, no pretending.